कुंज बिहारे उपजन्न वल्लभा गिरवरदारे उपजन्न वल्लभा गिरवरदारे शोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन शोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वंदचारी यमुना तीरा वंदचारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो 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 हरे हरे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 8, which is entitled The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text 13. Saha aham fikatam manasya shira kayat arami te gopayeta hari fa adya yaha te ipsitam. Soham vikatam manasya shirakaya taramite gopayeta aristadya yaste sharanam ipshitam soham vikatam manasya shirakaya daramite gopayeta aristvadya yaste sharanam ipsitam soham vikatam manasya shirakaya daramite gopayeta aristvadya yaste sharanam ipsitam. Saha hi aham I vikatamanasya. Who are speaking such nonsense? Shira the head.
Kayat,
from the body.
Harami,
I shall take away.
Te,
of you.
Gopayeta,
let him protect.
Hari,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Tva,
you.
Adya,
now.
Yaha,
he who.
Te,
your.
Sharanam,
protector.
Ipsitam,
desired. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Because you are speaking so much nonsense, Hiranyakasipu is speaking, I shall now sever your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipable God come to protect you. I want to see. Please repeat. Because you are speaking so much nonsense. I shall now sever your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipable God come to protect you. I want to see it. Purport. Demons, it's a very short purport. Demons always think that the God of the devotees is fictitious. They think that there is no God and that the so-called religious feeling of devotion to God is but an opiate, a kind of illusion. Like the illusions derived from LSD and opium. Hiranyakasipu did not believe Prahlad Maharaj when Prahlad asserted that his Lord is present everywhere. Because Hiranyakasipu, as a typical demon, was convinced that there is no God and that no one could protect Prahlad. He felt encouraged to kill his son. He challenged the idea that the devotee is always protected by the Supreme Lord. Om Agyanati Maranda Syagena Slakaya Sakshara Mudatamyena Tasmai Sigurave Namaha Vishnudaya Krishna Kristan Bhutalesha Mithi Satvaridas Goswami Tinanne Namam Vishnudaya Krishna Bhistan Bhutalesha Mithi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinanne Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Satarini. So I will speak a little bit on this verse, and after that we will speak a little bit on Gopastami and also on the different disappearance days. So here Hiranyakasipu came to this point because he was approached by Sanda and Amarka, by his teachers, whom he had requested to teach the young boys, just like we have Gurukul, to teach the young boys the materialistic way of living. And although the teachers were very qualified, they had great difficulty. And that difficulty was already shown before in previous chapters, this challenge had already come up that Prahlada was using any opportunity to educate his classmates in Krishna consciousness. So that was a problem, and Hiranyakasipu, who became aware of it, called Sandana Marka previously and chastised them. But somehow or other they were able to prove, and Hiranyakasipu checked it out himself also. He called Prahlad, and then he could see from the reaction and from what Prahlad was saying that indeed he was a tough nut to crack to make a demon, because he is the Lord's pure devotee. So that was understood, that Hiranyakasipu understood and accepted that the teachers did their level best, and even when he ordered them to kill Prahlad in so many different ways, then they didn't succeed. So now it was really becoming too much. The class, the boys, they were not just during the break getting Krishna consciousness. They were started to reject the teachings of Sandana Marga. And as a result, they felt, we have to really go and see, you know, our Lord and King Hiranyakasipu and explain to him that it becomes unbearable here. Because due to the association with the pure devotee, the boys were really taking up Krishna consciousness, and they were rejecting basically the teachings of Sandana Marga. So they went to see Hiranyakasipu again. And of course, since before Hiranyakasipu had already instructed to kill them, he was not going to say again. So the only thing what was left for him is to kill him himself. Because ultimately he was the leader, he had tried other ways, so the only way he would deal, and he became very, very angry, very upset. Of course, a demon, you know, one of his qualities is to be angry and greedy and you know, and obsessive. So Hiranyakasipu had all these qualities, and when he became angry, he was shaking out of anger, because he was with a very difficult situation, because according to him, you know, Prahlad was his heir, so was the follower of him. So, and his follower was a devotee, and that's the last thing he wanted. And he considered himself so powerful, but at the same time he was not able to affect Prahlad, because even when Prahlad came in front of him, all he spoke was about Krishna consciousness. And also in the recent verse before, he was saying, you know, the energy which we use is for me the same as for you. And so Prahlad was preaching to Hiranyakasipu, and it made him even more disturbed. And he could see that Prahlad was doing it in a very relaxed way, in a very fearless way, because that's the quality of a pure devotee. Pure devotee, he is afraid of material association, but he is not afraid of death. He is not afraid of anything, because he knows that my Lord is always there to protect me. If he wants me, if he wants to protect me, he will protect me. If I need to die, that's also fine. Whatever the Lord wants with me, I am his, I am in his hands. He can do with me what he wants. I am the puppet on the string. And whatever the Lord wants, I will do. and I will accept. I will not resist, because fear means that you resist. You want to resist something. You're afraid of what is going to happen. That means fear. And a demon, he put himself in a bubble. He put himself in an artificial situation. And of course, he is fearful that bubble, what is not really is, that is going to burst one day. And usually it does. We cannot keep up artificial situations. The real situation has to come out one day. So he, he was so much obsessed with anger, and the preaching of Prahlad Maharaj was fuel on the fire. And as a result, he started to speak in a delusioned way, and saying things like what he's saying today, Because you're speaking so much nonsense. Prahlad Maharaj was not speaking nonsense. He was speaking the absolute truth. I shall now sever your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipable God come to protect you. I want to see. He says it twice. He says, let me see your worshipable God come and protect me. I want to see. So he really is challenging to the extent. And then what will happen in the future, we will see. But he is clearly guided here by the six enemies of the living entity, which are Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. He is really, fully into that. And that really makes him mad. By now, Hiranyakasipu became mad due to his illusion and due to this power trip in which he put himself. So Prahlad is not impressed, and he remains very equipoised, very dependent on the Lord. And then the next verses will reveal what is said next. I will now speak something about Gopastami, because this is the day today. Is a special day in the sense that it is the day that Lord Krishna grew out of his Kaumara age. From 5 years, the boys are in the Kaumara age, and he was allowed to tender the calves. And now he enters into the Pohanda age, which is from 6 to 10 years old. And now he is allowed to tender the cows. And Nanda Maharaj made that into a festival. That's why also puja is held, feast is held. And also in this... this was normally only for the coward boys and the coward men, but the gopis also wanted to be part of it. Now the difficulty was that it was only for boys and men, but Srimati Radharani found a solution. Because Subal was more or less her size. And she made an arrangement with Subal that he gave her a set of clothes. So she dressed in the clothes of Subhao, and her gopi friends followed the same. Somewhere or other they managed to find the dress of the gopas, and in this way they were able to be part of the festival. They were able to go with the cows, to tender the cows, to go with the cows together with the cowherd boys to the forest, and enjoy this. So this is a nice pastime, that's what today in the Goshala. There is also some ceremony and talking about the pastimes of Krishna and the cows, and also a feast at the end. So today there are several, there is also Gadadhar Das Thakur, who disappeared today, and he previously lived in Navadvip, and he went with Lord Chaitanya to Jagannath Puri. And then later, Gadadhar Das Thakur was sent back by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu together with Lord Nityananda to preach in Bengal. And I will read something now. One day, Sri Gadadhar Das Thakur, intoxicated in ecstatic love, while chanting the holy names of Hari, came to the house of Kazi at Eriyadahagram and began to call him. The Kazi, in a fit of anger, came storming out of his internal apartment. But upon seeing the transcendentally serene appearance and mood of Gadadhar Das Prabhu, he became stunned. His anger softened and his expression became friendly. The Kazi inquired, "Thakur, why have you come just now?" So it didn't seem to be like the right time of the day that he... Das Gadadhar Thakur answered, "I should like to have a few words with you." "Yes, whatever you have to say, speak on." And then Gadadhar Das Thakur says, "Sri Sri Gaur Nityananda have appeared on this earth to distribute the nectar of the holy names to all classes of man, from the highest to the lowest, even to the most sinful, despicable persons. Why haven't you accepted this sweet threat? Why haven't you taken up the chanting of these nectarian holy names?" And the Kazi answers, "I will accept it tomorrow." "Why tomorrow? Today you should accept. I have come here today to deliver you from the depths of ignorance and sin by the power of these holy names. So you please take this supremely auspicious Harinam. I will deliver you from all your sinful activities this very day." Having listened to Gadadhar Das Thakur's sweet speech, the Kazi became a little bewildered. He began to laugh and said, "Tomorrow I will say Hari." When Gadadhar Das Thakur heard the two syllables Ha and Ri emanate from the Kazi's mouth, he became overwhelmed in the happiness of ecstatic love and exclaimed, tomorrow, sir, you said Hari just now. All of your sins have fled far away. You have become supremely pure. Saying this, he began to dance in ecstasy. The Qazi, having been purified by the transcendental vibration of Hari, took shelter at Gadadhar Das Thakur's lotus feet in this way. And in this way, Gadadhar Das Thakur delivered many sinful, wicked Yavanas and other such people. Another disappearance is today is from Sri Dhananjaya Pandit. But only one line is there. Dhananjaya Pandit was a very rare soul. Nityananda Prabhu was always present in his heart. That's from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now Srinivas is the son, Srinivas Acharya is the son of Gangadhar Bhattacharya and Lakshmi Priya. And Gadadhar Bhattacharya was very close to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially in the beginning years. But then later, due to his Grihastha life and due to his engagements, responsibilities, he didn't see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so often anymore. But then at one moment in the year 1510, which is the year that Lord Chaitanya shaved up and took sannyas, then Gadadhar Bhattacharya, without knowing anything, felt a strong urge to go to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then he came to the place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was shaved up. Katwa or something. He came to that place and suddenly saw that this whole thing was happening. Lord Chaitanya was going to take sannyas and he was going to be shaved up, and all the devotees around him, they were lamenting and crying, and it was a whole scene. And he became part of that. He couldn't accept. He couldn't believe. He also didn't see the need why somebody, such a beautiful personality, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he didn't see the need why he needed to shave up and come sannyas, because he already had all these qualities. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu obviously had his mission, and he was not, in that sense, disturbed by all the sentiments. But it was a whole dramatic scene, this shaving up of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was there at that time. And then Lord Chaitanya invited him to come to Jagannath Puri, which he did with his wife. And Lord Chaitanya, he invited him to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. And when they were in front of Lord Jagannath, Gadadhar Bhattacharya and Lakshmi Priya, then they were praying, because for quite some time they were trying to get a child, which was not coming. And so they were praying to Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being also Lord Jagannath, he knew about that prayer of Gangadhar Bhattacharya. So he said, you go back to your place and you will soon receive a son. And a son, and the son will be named Srinivas. So then they did, they went back to their place, and Srinivas, very exalted, very beautiful looking, very special bodily features, took birth, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to, later on wanted to meet them. So then there was Narahari Sakaratakur, who educated the boy into Krishna consciousness. And also, of course, the parents were very devoted. So then Lord Chaitanya was getting at the end of his pastime. So he wanted Srinivas to come to him in Jagannath Puri. But then at that time, Srinivas' father left. So he had to console the mother and make some arrangement, although still being a young boy. Still, he had to take care of these duties. So then it took some time for Srinivas before he could really go to Nilachal, to Jagannath Puri. So, still a boy, Srinivas set out with a companion for Puri. On the way, he learned that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left this world. Then Lord Chaitanya, along with Nityananda Prabhu, who had also left this world, they both appeared to Srinivas. And they consoled him. Still, Srinivas remained grief-stricken because he had heard so much about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. And now his Lord had left, so he was never going to meet him. So then Srinivas went to the Gopinath temple, and as advised by Lord Chaitanya, he took shelter of Gadadhar Pandit. The Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit, was overcome with separation from Lord Chaitanya, and tears always flowed from his eyes. Srinivas bowed at Gadadhar's feet and introduced himself. Gadadhar Pandit became joyful. He said, I am glad you have come and introduced yourself, he said, just before passing away. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told me to teach you the Bhagavatam. He knew you would arrive in Puri one day, and he asked me to explain Krishna Lila to you. Gadadhar Pandit's joy, he could now fulfill this order of Lord Chaitanya. But it again turned to sadness. I cannot teach you Bhagavatam at this time. O young Srinivas, he said, for the manuscript in my possession has become illegible from the tears I have cried into its pages. Srinivas touched the sacred book to his head and felt ecstasy arise within himself. Nonetheless, the problem of studying a book that had been rendered illegible remained. But Sri Gadadhar and Srinivas would not be swayed from their purpose. The will of Mahaprabhu could not be obstructed. Sri Gadadhar sent a message to Narahari Sarakare in Bengal asking him to secure another manuscript of Srimad Bhagavatam. Narahari replied that another copy was available and that a messenger should be dispatched immediately. Gadadhar sent Srinivas himself and told him to hurry. The separation from Lord Chaitanya was intolerable for Gadadhar Pandit, he said, and he didn't know how long he could stay in this world. Before leaving, Srinivas fulfilled a long-cherished desire to see Lord Chaitanya's associates. Before leaving, he went to Navadvip to pick up the Bhagavatam, but before going back, he went to the homes of Ramananda Roy, Sikhi Mahiti, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Vakreshvara Pandit, Paramananda Puri, Gopinath Acharya, and many others. He also went to see King Pratap Parudra, but according to the Bhakti Ratnakara, the king had gone away in solitude to lament the Lord's passing. Srinivas reminded the great personalities in Puri of Lord Chaitanya. Seeing his intense and unprecedented love of Godhead, the devotees could understand that he was Gaura Shakti, the embodiment of the energy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the Prema Vilas, Srinivas is an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. The Lord's intimate associates could naturally perceive this and could understand that through Srinivas, the eternal message of Lord Chaitanya, the message of the Vedic literature, would be widely distributed. When Srinivas arrived in Bengal and received a copy of the Bhagavatam, he learned that Gadadhar Pandit had passed away. The news was a terrible blow and Srinivas lamented. Then Gadadhar Pandit appeared to him in the pretext of a dream and encouraged him to go forward. Srinivas reflected on the inconceivable will of the Lord. Why had he taken away the person who was to teach him the Bhagavatam? Was there a new plan? Was someone else to teach him the sacred scriptures? Some say that Srinivas felt despondent at this time, but not much is known about the years that followed of Sri Gadadhar's passing from this world. It is generally assumed that Srinivas spent this time at first in a heartbroken state and then in serious meditation. He probably continued his studies as he was still in his teens. When Sri Janavi Devi, the wife of Nityananda Prabhu, went to Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami asked her to send Srinivas to Vrindavan as soon as possible. On her return to Bengal, she relayed the message. The request heightened Srinivas' desire to study bhakti literature with Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Had he gone to Vrindavan then, he would have met Rupa and Sanatana, but he decided to visit the homes of Lord Chaitanya's principal associates on the way, stopping at Navadvip to visit Sri Chaitanya's home. This was the second time Srinivas delayed the journey. First the journey to see Gadadhar Pandit and now Rupa and Sanatan. Perhaps Srinivas' enthusiasm to associate with Lord Chaitanya's direct followers in Puri and Navadvip was so overwhelming that he was unable to heed the advice of his forebears. Some say that all of this was the will of Providence, so that Srinivas would take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Others say that Srinivas, by his example, was teaching the importance of pilgrimage and association with devotees. Srinivas was enthralled with the home of Sri Chaitanya in Navadvip, where he met Vishnupriya Devi. the Lord's revered widow and her esteemed servants, Vamsi Vadana Thakur and Ishana Prabhu, they all blessed Srinivas, and he stayed with them for several days, hearing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. During those days, he watched Vishnupriya Devi perform severe austerities. For example, she would chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Over each grain of rice she was to eat. When she was finished with her daily chanting, she would eat only the grains she had set aside. Then Srinivas visited the house of Nityananda Prabhu, where Janavi Devi, her son Birabhadra, and others greeted Srinivas as if he were part of their own family. But Janavi Devi encouraged him to start her Vrindavan without delay, because Rupa and Sanatan would soon rejoin the Lord in the spiritual world. On the way to Vrindavan, Srinivas stopped at the well-known Abhiram Thakur's house to deliver a letter for Janavi Devi. The Thakur greeted him with three loving lashes from an extraordinary whip, but this unusual greeting was a benediction. The whip, known as Jai Mangala, would bestow love of God on anyone it touched. Sri Abhiram and his wife showed deep affection for Srinivas. Not only did they bless him with their famous whip, but they gave him valuable instructions and reiterated the importance of going to Vrindavan as soon as possible. While continuing his journey, Srinivas stopped at Katva, where his father had seen Lord Chaitanya adopt the renounced order. Meanwhile, Sanatana Goswami had left this mortal world, and Rupa Goswami could not bear the separation. So not only had he missed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Sri Gadadhar Pandit, but then, because it's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who had actually given the instruction to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami to instruct Srinivas, who would come to them in the future. So he missed also Rupa Sanatana. Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Sanatana Goswami. So Sri Rupa felt that he too might not survive to instruct Srinivas. So he asked his distinguished disciple and nephew, Sri Jiva Goswami, to care for Srinivas. Traveling in those days, mostly by foot, was difficult. Nonetheless, Srinivas was making determined progress, stopping briefly on the way to visit in Benares, to visit the house of Chandrasekharacharya, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had lived for two months. Next, Srinivas reached Prayag and spent the night there. 4 days before arriving in Vrindavan, he heard that Sanatana Goswami had passed away. And when he reached Mathura, he learned that Rupa Goswami had passed away. So Srinivas fell on the ground crying like a madman. He felt himself the most unfortunate person in the universe. He had failed to meet Lord Chaitanya and to study the Bhagavatam with Gadadhar Pandit. Now he had failed to meet Rupa and Sanatana. While Srinivas sat beneath the tree, wishing his own death, Rupa and Sanatana appeared to him in a dream and told him he was the embodiment of Lord Chaitanya's love. They encouraged him to proceed to Vrindavan to take shelter of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and to study under Sri Jiva Goswami with all his life and soul. The words of Sri Sanatana and Rupa Goswami relieved Srinivas' heavy heart somewhat. He could travel again, and soon he felt the dust of Vrindavan beneath his feet. He approached Rupa Goswami's Govinda Dev temple, hoping to find more solace at Lord Govinda's lotus feet. As Srinivas sat before the deity, Jiva Goswami and his many followers entered the temple. Srinivas introduced himself, and Sri Jiva greeted him warm and lovingly. Srinivas spent the night there at Sri Jiva's temple, Sri Radha Damodar. The next day, Srinivas offered his homage at the tomb of Sri Rupa in the temple courtyard. Then Jiva introduced Srinivas to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who greeted him with kind words and expressed his disappointment that Srinivas had not arrived sooner. As Rupa and Sanatana had been anxious to meet him, Gopal Bhatta took sannyas to this Radha Raman temple and asked the deity there to bless him. Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Jiva Goswami gradually introduced Srinivas to the inhabitants of Vraj. Gopal Bhatta Goswami initiated Srinivas and taught him. And as Jiva Goswami was the preeminent Vaishnavi philosopher of that period, Gopal Bhatta directed Srinivas to him for higher instruction. And in accordance with the desires of Lord Caitanya, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, the Prema Vilas states that Sri Jiva took care of Srinivas and gave him a thorough spiritual education. Another young scholar, the illustrious Narottama Das Thakur, had been studying under Jiva for 1 year when Srinivas arrived in Vrindavan. Narottama Das had been initiated by Lokanath Goswami. Then another one, Dukhi Krishna Das, came. The three young devotees studied under Jiva Goswami with the utmost enthusiasm and became his best students. They were widely known as separate friends. Jiva Goswami ordered them to study the forest of Vrindavan with Raghunath Pandit, who knew all the sacred groves and their significance. So then, later on, Srinivas, Narottam Das, and Dukhi Krishna Das, they were sent to a special mission to preach the Vaishnava philosophy and Lord Caitanya's pastimes in Bengal. And then there is a whole pastime where the books with the chariot were captured, and then that king became also devotee, etc. So we'll stop here. So Prabhupada ki jai, Gopastami ki jai.